Today, I want to talk on the subject of growing in evangelism, because it's really kind of my testimony, but I want to share that with you, and hopefully that will be of encouragement to you. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we can come into your presence today through Jesus Christ. Thank you for music. Thank you for your word. Thank you for testimony already that we've heard today. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your word today, as we're challenged, just how I've been challenged, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts and minds to take more steps to become a follower of Christ for your glory. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start this morning with one scripture verse that you have listed is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sure maybe this is a passage that you know very well. Let's just take a look at that just for a little bit here. This passage in Acts, it's really the theme verse for the book of Acts, Acts 1, 8. And think of what happens. Picture this with me. Jesus has now been with his disciples 40 days. He's appeared to them different times. And now he's ready to be, he's going to be ascending to heaven. They don't know that really yet. But so he's talking to them. And these are like the last words that Jesus tells his disciples before he ascends to heaven. So we know that he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again. And then we know he ascended into heaven. So this is right before the ascension. So it's really some key words that Jesus has here. So listen to this as he's talking in Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And after he said these things, as they were looking, he was lifted up and he went to heaven. So these words are really important because they're the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples. So let's just take a look at this passage just a little bit here. So we could ask a couple questions. Well, what's taking place? How is this going to happen? Who is this for? Where people are supposed to go? Why are we doing all of this? Okay. A lot of things we could ask about the passage, but look what Jesus says here. First, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, we have the benefit of now looking back in Acts chapter 2 is when Pentecost happened, when the Holy Spirit came and the disciples were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then he tells them, you will be my witnesses. And a couple of years ago, I was reading this passage, and the thing that struck out to me, that really hit me, that he says, you will be my witnesses. In a sense, we're a representative of Jesus Christ today. He says, you will be my witnesses. Think of this like as an ambassador. The last church that I had pastored when I was overseas was an international church in Romania, and I had an ambassador from one of the countries attending the church. So whenever he would speak not his own words, but he would speak on behalf of his government and kind of their policies and those kind of things. But so he had an important role, but he was a witness. He was an ambassador for his particular country. Well, that's in a sense what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be witnesses, in a sense, ambassadors for Christ wherever we go. So you see here, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So it's not just going and being a witness, but he says also here that we're, in a sense, empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do this. And then he tells them where they should be going, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So when you look in the book of Acts, they start in Jerusalem, and at the end of the book, it goes through all of these different areas, and the book of Acts doesn't have an ending. It's just like it keeps going on, but all of these different areas, the witness of Christ goes to all these particular areas. So God has called all of us, wherever we live, whether it's Thief River Falls or Fergus Falls for Kathy and me, to be a witness in our own community. Then God called some of us to go beyond our own community to maybe to Judea, Samaria, or to the ends of the earth. So we're all supposed to be involved in this kingdom work. Listen to what Greg Kuchel said in September of 2023 on Breakpoint. There are few things that cause more nagging guilt for Christians than sharing their faith. They feel guilt because they don't witness enough. They don't witness enough because they're scared, and they're scared for good reason. Sharing the gospel and defending it, apologetics, often feels like navigating a minefield these days. For most of us, engaging others on spiritual matters does not come easy, especially when people are hostile. So, you know, a lot of us, we kind of stand back and, boy, I don't know if I want to share. I don't know if I can share. I don't know what I should share. We have those kind of guilt feelings, or we just don't do it. But I really believe Acts 1:8 is for all of us. Now, at our church in Fergus, our pastor Eric is preaching through the book of Acts now. And what he told everybody there when the sermon started, he said, memorize Acts 1:8. So I don't know if you all know it, but if you want to memorize the verse, this would be a wonderful verse for you to know. Now, several years ago, I was taking a class in evangelism in Minneapolis at New Hope Church. It was a monthly evangelism class that we had. And every month when we would get together, we would do what was called an evangelistic temperature, where we would grade ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10 of how we were doing in the area of evangelism. Well, 1 was like not doing anything, and 10 was like you were like an evangelist and talking all the time. I was usually in the 6 and 7 range. But let me tell you a quote that I heard from Randy Disher, who was also part of that class. He's the pastor at Constance Free Church in Andover. Listen to what he said about evangelism. Evangelism evaporates every 30 days. What are you going to do about it? Meaning that if we don't share Christ at least every 30 days, pretty soon it'll be 60 days and 90 days, and we don't share at all. So he was encouraging people to share Jesus with people. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:5. Timothy is told, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, I don't know if Timothy was an evangelist, but Paul is telling him, do the work of an evangelist. Not everybody has a gift of evangelism. I don't think I do, but I have kind of an interest in it. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, equip the body, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So there are some people who actually have the gift of evangelism. I'm sure maybe some of you do. One time when we were in Lake Charles, Louisiana, I was waiting for a car rental for our crisis response week, and one of the guys with us was from Bethel Church in Fargo, and he's an evangelist. So I'm waiting and just kind of impatiently waiting for the counter, for, you know, to get a car. He's talking to one of the employees at the airport and leads that person to Christ as I'm waiting for the car. That's an evangelist. So why talk about this subject today? Jesus says in Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Many Christians, I think, are needing to grow in this area of evangelism. One Free Church pastor that I talked to a couple years ago said in a Sunday school class, he asked people, how many of these adult Christians in an E-Free Church, how many of you ever shared your testimony with people? And he was surprised the number of hands that did not go up. People just had not been doing that. Let me tell you one thing that's happening around the world that's really interesting and encouraging. One of the fastest growing churches in the world today is in Iran. And even though we hear a lot about Iran today with all the nuclear problems, but it's one of the fastest growing churches. It's an underground church. It's a church that's hidden. It's where the religious police will come and arrest people and put people in prison, but it's a growing church. And what happens, people have the internet, they can get broadcasts through the web, and they can learn about Jesus Christ that way. And there's persecution there, but here's what happened, which is so interesting. In 1979, I think it was, when the revolution took place in Iran, and with American embassy was taken over and all those people were captured, all these people were thought, this is going to be a new day for the people in Iran. It's going to be different. You know what happened? Many people were disillusioned with what they were told, and it didn't bring satisfaction. It didn't bring hope. It didn't bring peace to people. A lot of the mosques I've heard there are pretty empty, but people are searching. They're wanting Bibles, and God is doing an amazing work in that particular country. So now I want to introduce to you what's called the Blessed Principle. You have, if you have a bulletin, you have a little insert in your bulletin, I think. We're going to kind of go through this today, and you can see first the slide there of the Blessed Principle. It's an acrostic, B-L-E-S-S, and this material was developed by the Billy Graham Association and also by the Covenant Church, and then it was further developed by this Constance Free Church in Andover. And there are some churches, when you walk in, we've seen different churches in different states when we've gone in there, they'll have on a wall the Blessed Principle listed, and that's how some churches show this as a means for doing evangelism. So what I want to talk to you about today is each of these letters. The first one here is a bless through prayer. And here, it's from Colossians 4, 2, and 3. Listen to what Paul writes. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful and with thanksgiving, and at the same time pray also for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. So this first one is where we bless someone in prayer. Now, it could be when you're shopping, if you're in a hospital, but I often think a good way to do it is when Kathy and I, say, go out to eat at a restaurant. Just on Friday night, since COVID, I'm responsible for meals in our home. Guess what? I'm not a cook. So we either go out and eat or I bring food in. That's how we take care of it for me. But we went out to eat on Friday night. We were in this restaurant, and this waitress comes, and she takes her order. And I said, you know, we like to pray before we eat. You have any prayer requests that we could pray for you for? And she just stopped for a minute and thought. And she said, well, yeah, pray for my children. And we heard her name already. So when she left, we prayed for our server and prayed for her kids. And sometimes when we've done this, we've done it on crisis response teams. Sometimes a server will stand there and just smile, oh, you're Christians, and they'll put their hand out and want to pray with us. And other people will start tearing up because some of the things that they're going through is really difficult, and we'll pray for them. Some people have actually said no, and they walk away. You know, we do. We pray for them anyway. But think about this. When you go out to eat, you can ask a server, how about, well, what do you have as a prayer request? I said, you know, we like to pray before we eat. Do you have anything we can pray for you for? A few people again say no. One time on one of our crisis response teams in Lake Charles, we'd been on a prayer walk because every day we'd go on a prayer walk, our different teams were walking back to our job site, and this pickup truck pulls up next to us, and the person talks to us and said, are you the people who prayed? Or, yeah. Well, Miss So-and-so over here, this other block, she's going to be back at 3:30 today. She needs prayer. So would you please come over and pray for her? They knew about us because of our green shirts about prayer. So what I'd encourage you to do, if you're not doing this, come up with a little list and think of people who don't know the Lord, maybe friends, relatives, neighbors, colleagues, co-workers who need Christ, and put them on a prayer list and begin to pray for them daily, that God would give you opportunities to be a blessing to them. Now, one time when I was in Cuba, what we're telling people down there, the believers, make a list every this year for 10 people. Put 10 people on there, and that will be your mission field for this year. People that you can serve, that you can love, that you can befriend. And that's where we're telling all the Christian believers to do that in Cuba. So again, the first letter here is bless, blessing someone through prayer. The second one here is listening, is listen. Think about this. The Gospels record that Jesus is asking 307 questions. He's been asking that and only provides 8 answers to people asking questions of him. There's 275 verses in the Bible about listening. Now on the sheet here, it tells, listen to the Spirit, look for evidence of God's work in people's lives. So here it's kind of an easy one, it's an important one, but ask questions that invite people to tell their story. So say you're here after church or someplace and say, hey, tell me about your background. Tell me where you work. Tell me where you live. Tell me about your family. And you're asking questions. You know what? If I would talk to each one of you individually, we don't have time for that today, but if I would, and if I'd ask each one of you, tell me your story. Each one of you has a story. It might be a good story, might be a difficult story, might be a short story or a long story, but every one of you has a story about your life and who you are. Recently, I joined Rotary in Fergus. Kathy is, my wife's been a part of it for 20-some years. I just became a member in January, and because I'm a new member, I had a chance to give a talk. So I had about 30 minutes, I had slides and all this, but I was able to share my testimony in there and my call to Christian work and where I have served and all this. And people really appreciated hearing that because they had no idea about who I was and my background. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you could ask people this. How would you describe your relationship with God? That could be a question you could ask. Now, one time I was out in Pennsylvania where my wife grew up, and one of my classmates was out there. I hadn't seen this man in many years. His name was Neil. And we were over at his house. And I said, Neil, tell me your story. And I was just fascinated as he told me a story. Because what happened in high school, he was said, you're not college material. You shouldn't go to college. He went into the Army. He found out he was good as an engineer, kind of electronics. He ended up eventually with a PhD in physics. And I'm just sitting there listening to him. I couldn't believe his story. And then he heard my story because he didn't know my story about becoming a Christian in college and how God had called me. And we're both just amazed at each other's stories. But it's listening to a story and hearing people just talk about what God's doing in their lives. So how would you start a spiritual conversation with someone? Well, think in John 4 when Jesus is at the well, he started a conversation over, give me a glass of water. That's how it started for Jesus. The third one here is one that I think all of us like to do, is to eat. Luke 19:5, Jesus asked to come to Zacchaeus' house. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now, it doesn't say about eating in particular, but I'm sure that was one thing that was going to happen there. Barry Jones says this, I'm convinced that our dinner tables have the potential to be the most missional places in all of our lives. Perhaps before we invite people to Jesus or invite them to church, we should invite them to dinner. So do you do that? You invite people to your home? Do you invite people to go to a restaurant or something after church on Sunday? Think of creative ways where you can eat with people. And think about this. Who can you invite in the next few weeks, maybe for a meal or for coffee or a dessert or something? Who's someone that you would like to spend time with, just eating with them, and then you can hear their story? So think about, a lot of this can happen all at one time. You can be with someone that you don't know real well. You can pray for them. You can then listen to their story. You can eat with them. All that can happen all at one setting. Sometimes it happens at one time or just over a period of time. The first S is serve. And here our example is Jesus in Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now listen to this, some of the examples that I have here about serving. Find little ways to acknowledge important events, birthdays, anniversaries. Take care of a tangible need that someone has, maybe a meal, raking leaves, shoveling snow, not this time of year, and babysitting. Do a service project with someone you are praying for. Run an errand for someone. Keep someone company. Be a listening ear. Send a greeting card. Don't miss big events, births, deaths, trials, sicknesses, and more. Give or lend something. Pray with people. Share needs with your neighbors openly. Borrow something from a neighbor and make restitution. Accept invitations to dinner parties and be generous with your gratitude. So serving is a great way of just caring for people. And that opens the door then to the final S here, and this is sharing. And so what you've done, first of all, you prayed for someone, you've listened to someone's story, you've eaten with people, you serve people, and then finally comes now with the opportunity of sharing your story with someone. The Apostle Paul, and when he and Silas were in jail in Acts 16, the jailer came and says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" So build a relationship with someone and where there's trust, and then look for ways where you can share the gospel that way. So some ways of doing that is before knowing Christ, how I became a Christian, what is my life like now? I have to tell you a story what happened with me a couple of years ago. We had the privilege of living at a lake near Fergus. My parents had bought this property years ago, and it was, in August, and I was out on my dock. We just have a little narrow 50-foot lot, and our neighbor right to the south was on his dock. And he looks over at me, and he said, "Steve, do you like beer?" And I looked at him. Nobody ever asked me that, at least for a long time. And he said, I said, "I'm too young." And then I left, and I thought, that's really a dumb answer. And it was. That just came to mind. So a couple of weeks later, I saw him in his backyard, and I went over there and talked to him, and I said, "You know, a couple of weeks ago, you asked me about drinking and so forth, and I gave you this dumb answer. Let me tell you the real answer." And I was able to share my testimony with him, how I'd had a problem with alcohol as a young person and became a follower of Christ. And his response was, "Some of my coworkers need to hear just what you said." A couple years ago on TV, we were listening to Greg Laurie, and it was the most interesting interview that he had with Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper has been a rock singer, has his group for many years. Alice Cooper grew up in a Christian home. His father was a pastor, and he became a true prodigal. But Alice Cooper also became a follower of Christ. Maybe you don't know that. Listen to what Alice Cooper says. "If the Lord is knocking at your door, answer it. The only cure I had was Jesus." And then he says, in quote, "Is this all there is? We have a choice. Christ is your redemption." So what is a story that you have that you can tell someone? So the blessed principle, bless someone through prayer, listen to their story, eat with someone, serve someone, and then share with someone your story of what God is doing in your life. Now, maybe some of you today are seekers. Maybe you're not a follower of Christ yet. And I would encourage you today to think about the good news of Jesus Christ, that God loved you, that he sent his son Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross for you, that he wants you to put your faith and trust in him and become a follower of Christ. You know, when we become a follower of Christ, it's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey where the Lord is with us and we can have fellowship with other believers and be a witness for him, not only here, but also globally as God might lead us to do that. You know, we'd love to talk to you after the service. If you're interested in the crisis response team with me to Florida this October, please talk to me. If you'd be interested in sponsoring a a child through Global Fingerprints with Kathy. Please talk to her. And thank you, Pastor Kevin, also for the opportunity for us to come and be here today. Thank you very much. Let me just pray. Lord, thank you for your great love for us, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Help us, Lord, to apply these principles to our lives, that we would be a better witness for you. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.